Welcome. This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. It is currently the 24th of January 2013 here in Japan, but it is the 23rd of January 2013 back in the United States, where I am joined on the line by Phil Restino, who is a member of Veterans for Peace, specifically the Central Florida Chapter 136. And he has been sounding the alarm for a long time about some of the problems with the Veterans for Peace leadership and their unwillingness to look into certain issues. Phil, thank you so much for your time today.
Well, thank you, James. I've been a fan of your reporting and your show for years, and it's a thrill to be on with you tonight.
Well, it's good to have you here to talk about such an important subject. So before we start to get into the specifics of what happened, perhaps we can just talk about Veterans for Peace as an organization and your affiliation with it.
Yes. Well, I came to learn about Veterans for Peace in 2005, and it was the... It was actually after the Downing Street memo had surfaced in May 1st of 2005, which your listeners probably know what that was. It was a memo that pretty much was smoking gun proof that the Blair administration and the Bush administration conspired a year ahead of time to. Do this propaganda about weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. And they knew there were no weapons of mass destruction, but that was their plan in order to get justification for the war on Iraq. So when that came out, I was certainly interested. And they had John Conyers, the Judiciary Committee ranking member at the time. This was June 16, 2005, had these hearings and on the Downing Street memo, and they call them the basement hearings because the majority leaders wouldn't give them a room to have the hearings in. And Cindy Sheehan testified, Ray McGovern, and John Bonifies, one of the attorneys, and a bunch of folks. And I watched that with great interest. And afterwards, I watched it online, actually. And afterwards, there was a rally outside, an impeachment rally. And this fellow, Mike Ferner of Veterans for Peace, got up to talk and gave this fiery speech on how not only is it our responsibility as citizens, but as veterans, it's our duty to uphold the Constitution and impeach this criminal president. And that was the speech that got me to take notice of Veterans for Peace and call them up and sign up. And I do want to mention that I'm a peacetime veteran. I was not in a war. I was served after Vietnam. And Veterans for Peace is open to all veterans who have served at any time and anywhere in the U.S. military, so I wanted to put that out there. So that's what got me to join Veterans for Peace, James, was that speech, that fiery speech, you know, citing the Constitution and our duty as veterans, and I bought it. I bought it hook, line, and sinker. I thought, this group is for real. They're, you know, I want to be part of this group and part of this effort. And they kept up that effort, all the way up until January 20th, 2009, when a Democrat stepped into office.
And funny how that works, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. And if you remember, 3 days into Obama's administration, 3 days in office, he sent drone bombers and started bombing Pakistan and killing a bunch of those people. And you know, that was a country Bush hadn't even gotten to yet. And what had happened was one of our chapter members, Tom Santoni out of St. Augustine, Florida, wrote a piece called Impeach Obama. And he wrote that in response to Obama bombing Pakistan with the drones. And we were naive. We thought, well, heck, you know, this anti-war movement that had been making the case for impeachment, you know, books were written, Elizabeth Holtzman, Marjorie Cohn, you know, David Swanson, and after DowningStreet.org. I mean, John Conyers, his staff wrote a book on impeachment. You know, it was a no-brainer. Obama just did what they were, the crimes that they were citing in the call for impeaching the Republican Bush. And we went there with the slogan, war crimes are war crimes, prosecute Bush, impeach Obama. Here we are four years later, James, and the leadership of the anti-war organization still will not publicly make that call.
Unfortunately not. And of course, you're speaking from personal experience here with Veterans for Peace and some of the things that they've done regarding, for example, a resolution HCR 107 to prevent war in Syria, also about impeachment and Obama. Tell us about some of these specific things and how the VFP leadership has acted about them.
Well, if we could go back to that incident with Obama in 2009, what that article by Tom Santoni, Impeach Obama, that turned into our chapter, our Central Florida chapter, was put in a spot now where we had to put it up as a resolution and vote on it as a chapter. And it was awkward because this is right during the first few months of Obama, the first black American president, you know, and there was such a euphoria. And my best friend in our chapter is a black fellow. And it was really awkward for us. And but we took it on. We didn't run from it. We took on this issue. And I'm very proud of the men and women in our Central Florida chapter. We had about three dozen or so at the time. And we banged it out. We had the debates and the discussions over email and telephone and what have you. And we eventually took a vote, and our chapter voted to impeach Obama. We put the statement of purpose of Veterans for Peace, as well as the precedent set by Veterans for Peace. And when they issued the call for impeachment of Bush in 2005, they had passed the resolution in 2004. And so that was precedent setting. You know, that was the response that Veterans for Peace gave publicly for these particular war crimes. And going back to Mike Ferner's words, not only is it our responsibility as citizens, but it's our duty as veterans to impeach this criminal president. And so we took the resolution to the 2009 National Convention, and I introduced it, and it was rejected pretty loudly, you know, and there may have been one or two people that spoke for us, and Adam Kokesh of Iraq Veterans Against the War supported it at that time, and he took a lot of heat for that, and it didn't pass. And then the next year, in 2010, we introduced it again at the convention. This time it did a little better, but and Cindy Sheehan had joined our cause, and she promoted the resolution, gave it attention on her blog, and we had Professor Francis Boyle, John Splitting the Sky Boncor, the Native American activist who got arrested in Canada for trying to arrest George Bush. You know, some significant names got behind it, but it still didn't pass. And at that time, our chapter co-chair, who campaigned quite a bit individually for Obama when he had been running, in 2008, he resigned. He sent in a written letter of resignation, and we had already lost a good bunch of our members after the 2009 failure of the resolution, because they basically said Veterans for Peace they're just hypocrites. You know, they're putting a political party favoritism in front of their statement of purpose, and it, basically an arm of the Democratic Party. Regardless of what they say, that's what the actions or inactions said. And so here we are again in 2011, James, and we had Larry Pinkney, the former Black Panther and columnist for the Black Commentator. He wrote an article in July of 2011 making the case for impeaching Obama. But what was, in particular, what was special about his piece was that he was citing the same crimes that the anti-war movement had cited in their calls for impeaching Bush. And that was significant because it wasn't like, you know, the Democrats are calling for impeachment for war and the Republicans are calling him for impeachment because he doesn't have a birth certificate or something. You know, it was the same issue. And this time it passed. It passed at the National Convention, and that was August of 2011, but nobody heard about it. I got a call from the convention. It was out in Portland. They informed me that the resolution passed. Our chapter was the sponsoring chapter. And I was told to keep quiet about it. They said they wanted to. I said, why? Aren't you going to send a letter to Congress like you did the last time? And, well, we don't know how we're going to handle this. And it just, right then and there, it was quite a shock. And it looked like the national leadership was not going to handle this impeachment resolution like they did the one for the Republican. And it wasn't until just a week or two, James, that we finally got a copy of the supposed letter that was sent for Congress, sent to members of Congress. And it turned out to be a single line, one sentence statement with the on a fax cover sheet. And it took 17 months to get that from our national office. And I did speak with the executive director of Veterans for Peace, Mike Reed, and he said he's the one who should be asked as far as the national leadership. I can't speak for them, but he would be the one at the national office to question about this. And he assured me that it was not intentional. He said that it was an oversight on part of Veterans for Peace and that they're dealing with many different issues. And evidently the impeachment one, impeaching a president for war crimes, wasn't high on the list. So,
well, to be fair to Veterans for Peace, they are certainly not the only anti-war left-wing organization that has certainly shied away from their duties over the past few years. And we can look to Code Pink and many of the other organizations that were so active during the Bush administration, which have completely disappeared from the scene now that Obama's on the scene. So let's talk a little bit more generally about the anti-war movement broadly and the types of people that that are eligible to become part of it.
Well, Code Pink, World Can't Wait, all these groups, it's a community, James. There has been a concerted, there's been a mass silence on this whole thing about impeachment of the Democrat. I really believe if the left called for impeachment of the Democrat for the same crimes that they cited in the call for impeachment of the Republican, there's nowhere to pass the political football. You take the partisanship out of it, and once again, the people have a chance to reclaim the power of the people's remedy, which is impeachment. And there must be a heck of a lot invested in keeping this left versus right thing going. And Paul Craig Roberts recently wrote a piece where agenda prevails over truth, and that seems to be the case here. The so-called anti-war movement, to get back to your question, now, ever since Obama got in, is really a joke, in my opinion. Code Pink, in particular, Stop the Next War. You mentioned HCON Resolution 107, that's what Walter Jones had introduced in 2012. He was very bothered by how Obama on his own ordered a bombing of Libya and how he didn't even bother to go to Congress and even bother to lie about it. He just called it in. I believe he was in South America at the time and just called it in. And our military started sending, 100, 150 cruise missiles bombing Libya. And that should have been a call for impeachment right there. That's an act of war, for crying out loud. And the anti-war movement just let it slide. And Congress let it slide. And it's like taking off your shoes at the airport. We didn't say no when they told us to take off our shoes at the airport. And now look how ridiculous it is. You know, TSA outnumbers the number of people on the airplane, for crying out loud, and they're molesting children in front of their parents. It's because we didn't say no. And so I fault the anti-war movement for all the death and destruction that's happened since that third day in office when Obama bombed Pakistan. That's when we should have called for his impeachment, and we should still call for his impeachment. But the anti-war movement, Code Pink, this past summer when they were having the national conventions, 1968 in the Democratic Convention in Chicago, the anti-war movement went there. It was the Democrats who were prosecuting the war in Vietnam. That's where the anti-war movement went. But this past year, everything was focused on Tampa and the Republican National Convention. And it just goes to show you the misdirection of these groups is, in my opinion, it's almost criminal. I'm not a lawyer, but man, there's a lot of people getting hurt because of them not stopping the wars when they have the ability. So H. Con. Res. 107 was introduced by Congressman Walter Jones, a Republican, in March of 2012. And what it does is threatens impeachment should the president once again just start a war without getting approval from Congress. And the anti-war movement knows about it, knew about it, and won't even talk about it. And
I don't know which aspect of this is more demoralizing, the fact that there has to be a resolution to the effect that the president will be impeached if he starts an unauthorized war, or the fact that no one will actually get behind this resolution. But it does leave people in this, I think, state of demoralization for the people who really are part of the anti-war movement that do not care if it's a D or an R behind the name of the president. What do you think is a way forward for this? Because these organizations have amply demonstrated by this point that they are not really interested in the impeachment process for Obama. So where can the people start to turn in this case?
Well, I think the way forward is those of us who have stayed in the fight. You know, there are a number of us, myself, a lot of the good activists in the anti-war movement when left, quit after the leadership of the organizations would not apply the same standard to the Democrat Obama, you know, and a lot of them just went home. They said, the heck with these groups, they're not for real. They're political. And we lost some real good members. And I think that's happened to the whole movement. And there were people in the movement, sure, that just were against the war if it was a Republican, you know, but I think we lost some real good anti-war activists who just gave up. And but there have been some of us who have stayed in the fight. And I think what we're doing right now tonight, James, having this interview, is we're getting a chance to be heard thanks to you and others who might take up this story. And I think that the next step would be to call Mike Reed, the executive director of Veterans for Peace, as he said, he's the one to talk to. And make him explain publicly. Make him explain this double standard, and call Medea Benjamin. Have her answer. Deborah Sweet of World Can't Wait. David Swanson, Mr. Impeachment himself. And whenever I've called into radio shows when they've been the guest, the answer is, well, if we couldn't get Bush impeached, we're certainly not going to get Obama impeached, and that's a play. That's the whole point of the matter is making the call, people making the call, and I submit to you, James, if the Democrats publicly made the call, you know, and all it is having a few breaths of air vibrating your vocal cords the next time you're up in front of a microphone. That's another excuse they use. They don't want to put all the resources and effort into a call for impeachment, you see. And all it is being in front of a microphone and saying we are calling for impeachment of Obama for war crimes. We have a resolution. Here's where you go to see it. They won't do that publicly because you know what will happen? You'll actually get a lot of people who will jump on it, people from the right, people who want to see Obama out of there. What about all those people who said they want a one-term president, you know? They'll jump on the bandwagon, any reason to get that guy out of there. And then all of a sudden, you have a lot of people calling for impeachment for this man doing war crimes. And then that partisanship is finally taken out of impeachment, and the power of impeachment can finally begin to get returned to the people. And war crimes after that will not go unabated.
And, you raise another very good important point there, because the fact that these organizations will not pursue the impeachment of Obama, regardless of whether or not it's politically feasible, shows and demonstrates that those people on the right who said that the left-wing prosecution or attempt to prosecute Bush was just politically motivated were correct. It shows that this is hypocrisy and that, in fact, they are holding different standards for different presidents. And that will enable the next right-wing president, the next Republican president, to do the exact same things, and the right-wing to dismiss the left-wing anti-war movement. And it perpetuates the cycle ad infinitum.
It sure does. And the left has a chance here to finally give... And the real disgust I have with this is they publicly put themselves out as being a group there to stop the war. That's their stated purpose, you know, so it's a betrayal. It's, and they're constantly asking you for money, you know, and it's a betrayal. It really is. I will continue this fight. I've been asked a number of times, and by some of the national leadership, why haven't you quit, Phil? They would love us to quit, those of us who are demanding that they stay consistent and stick to principle and follow through on the precedent that they set by calling for impeachment of the Republican Bush. There is Walter Jones reintroduced HCON-RES, it's number 3 now, HCON-RES 3, and he badly needs co-sponsors. The anti-war movement, the president of Veterans for Peace, Leah Bulger, knows about it. In fact, Walter Jones with Congressman Charlie Rangel, Democrat out of New York, they stood shoulder to shoulder on December 19th, and they actually held up in the air Veterans for Peace's statement against an attack on Syria, you know. So here's Walter Jones praising that. I don't know if a statement against something ever stopped a president from launching a war, but I do know a threat of impeachment has, and that was with George H.W. Bush. And that was 28 February 1991, and he wrote this in his own memoirs, A World Transformed, and that came out in 1998, that the reason why he didn't push into Iraq and overthrow Iraq in the first Gulf War was Representative Henry Gonzalez was going to introduce the articles of impeachment if he did, and that's what kept him from launching a war on Iraq after pushing them out of Kuwait. So we have historical fact that a threat of impeachment will stop a war or prevent one. So here we are with Walter Jones's HCON-RES 3 that's there right now. And Code Pink's motto used to be stop the next war, and they're nowhere to be found on this. We can stop the next war with getting behind Walter Jones's HCON-RES 3. But you know what? He's a Republican. can't associate with him, even if it means stopping a war.
Unfortunately so. Well, you know what? This really, the ultimate message that these groups are sending at the end of the day, these anti-war, quote-unquote, groups, are really sending the message that everyone who is truly against war should vote Republican in the next election to ensure that a Republican comes into the White House so that the anti-war movement will once again actually want to be anti-war.
Yeah, and that keeps them in a job, doesn't it? I tell you, there's been a heck of a lot of the anti-war leaders selling books and being on book tours over these last years, you know. And again, the whole thing with the third day in office when Obama bombed Pakistan with those drones. We in the Central, Tom Santoni of St. Augustine, Florida, wrote that piece, and it's still up on the After Downing Street website. Impeach Obama by Tom Santoni. It was printed on that after Downing Street in February of 2009. And had we done that then, you know, there would have been no need for Medea Benjamin to do a book tour on her drones books, how drones are bad. There would have been no need for the anti-war leaders to travel to Pakistan a few months ago and tell the people in Pakistan how bad they feel about our government bombing them with drones. How many thousands of people have been killed by the drones, and now we have drones over America. It's the same analogy as the not saying no to taking our shoes off in the airport. Look how far that's gone now. And so here we have something. We can prevent the next war, as was done in 1991. And H. Conres, number 3, Representative Walter Jones, he had bipartisan support for it the last time, but it was an election year, and the anti-war movement didn't want anybody to know about it because, God forbid, a Republican get helped with that and the Democrat get hurt. It's what it's all about, James. It's political partisanship, and I believe that's the biggest threat to this country's security, is our own stubborn political partisanship.
Well, I couldn't disagree with that assessment, but I know that there are a lot of people out there in the listening audience listening to this conversation right now who are on the side of peace and do not care about this left-right political divide. So hopefully we will be able to motivate some of them to get on board with these ideas and to look into the Walter Jones's resolution and into what was happening at Veterans for Peace. I will be linking up the article, Did Veterans for Peace Leadership Lie to Members About Sending a Letter of Impeachment to Congress as Directed by FVP Resolution 2011-7. In the show notes for the interview, so people can go and find that on CorbettReport.com, find the link there to that article and read more about this. And Phil, I certainly hope we can have you on in the future to continue talking about this extremely important subject, but I just want to salute you for the work that you've been doing, continuing to pursue this subject, even as unfortunately you've met a lot of resistance from your erstwhile allies.
Well, thank you, James, and thank you for the opportunity to get this out there. I know you have a lot of followers, a lot of listeners and readers, and the Veterans for Peace resolution calling for impeachment of Obama for war crimes is still alive. I encourage people who want to know about it and get behind it to call Veterans for Peace and ask them, hey, what's going on? Let's get this thing moving. It's a live resolution. It's active. And you just look them up, veteransforpeace.org, look up the phone number and give them a call and say what's going on. And please call your member of Congress, ask them to get with Congressman Walter Jones, H. Conres number 3, and let's prevent this next war on Syria and get our reps behind this resolution. Stop the next war. Code Pink, Medea Benjamin. We're waiting to hear from you on this. Stop the next war. That was your motto. Well, here it is. Here's our chance. H. Conres 3, Walter Jones of North Carolina.
Absolutely. Well, once again, I hope people will look into it. So we'll leave it there for now. Phil Restino, Veterans for Peace, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, James.